Episode 43 with Lynn Goldberg.
Where meditation meets daily life, this is the Meditation Freedom Podcast.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Meditation Freedom Podcast. My name is Seeker Rode, and this podcast is all about meditation, mindfulness, why we do it, and how we implement these practices in our daily lives. And in this podcast, I talk with people from all walks of life who are from various wisdom traditions that incorporate some type of meditation or contemplative practice. And as far as this show is concerned, as long as it shows some kind of fruits of this practice that are beneficial for not just the individual, but for the circles of influence and the circles around them, then I consider that a wisdom tradition and a practice that is beneficial and therefore interesting to discuss on this podcast. And so in this episode, I'm going to be talking with Lynn Goldberg. And Lynn had a somewhat troubled history. She was a stressed out, sleep deprived, type A businesswoman and ended up a renowned meditation coach and app owner or co-founder of the Oh My God or OMG I Can Meditate app. And when she started meditating, as she talks about in this interview, she was no natural, you know, it didn't come easily to her. So she's got a lot of experience struggling with making it work, and therefore that actually made her a very good app developer with the help of her husband's technical expertise. So Lynn had a series of devastating blows, including the loss of twin baby girls, her mother, her marriage, her job, coupled with years of infertility treatments and multiple failed adoptions. And she talks about on her bio that in these quiet moments, she was forced to face the fact that ultimately she was still alone, unhappy, unfulfilled, and disconnected. Something, in fact, everything was missing, as she says. At some point, she got dragged kicking and screaming by a friend into a yoga retreat where she reluctantly abided by a meat-free, alcohol-free diet and learned to meditate. And so slowly her anxiety and her stress dissipated and her reluctance transformed into acceptance and appreciation and outright enjoyment of the present moment. So she was starting to see the benefits of this practice. As she got more into the meditation path, she started studying with folks like Deepak Chopra, Sri Dharma Mitra, and Tony Robbins. And currently, she is a certified meditation coach, yoga instructor, strategic interventionist, and author of the book Get Balanced, Get Blissed. And at this point, she's coached people from all walks of life, like celebrities, athletes, and business executives to 80-year-old cancer patients, as well as children. Her meditation programs and curriculum has also been implemented in elementary and high schools, special needs schools, as well as hospitals. The app that I was talking about earlier is called OMG I Can Meditate, and it's a mobile and meditation, web meditation app that can teach anybody how to meditate in just 10 minutes a day using guided meditations. And she uses a simple and clear teaching style. I highly recommend you check it out. You can check out these meditations as well in your plane rides. If you're going to Canada through Air Canada, or if you're using the Delta KLM flights internationally. When Lynn's not busy doing all these things that I just mentioned, she is also enjoying doing the things she loves most, which is being in nature, hiking, biking, traveling, cooking, and enjoying time with her husband and kids. At the very end of this interview, I'm going to add a sound clip from one of their very popular guided meditations that they're using in their app, as well as now putting on YouTube. And also, it is one of the guided meditations that is being used in the plane flights. So with that, here's the interview with Lynn Goldberg. Thank you so much, Lynn, again, for being willing to be interviewed. I really appreciate it.
I'm glad to talk to you.
What I like to start out with is the struggle and the hardship that you were talking about in your bio before you started a meditation practice. And maybe you have some examples or Maybe you can describe a little bit of what that was like, what life was like before you started practicing meditation.
Sure. So I really was not a natural meditator at all. And I really want to stress that because so many people are a little intimidated by meditation and sort of look at someone who might now meditate and think, oh, I could never do that.
Right.
But for me, I came to meditation really by accident. My mom had been diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. And at the time that she was going through all of her treatments, her doctor had actually recommended that she try meditation. And simultaneously, I was going through infertility treatments. And so while she was having all of her sort of difficulties with her treatments, I thought, okay, if it can help her, maybe it can help me as well.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, when you're trying to get pregnant, people are very, they like to tell you how, you know, if you'd only relax, you'll get pregnant. And so I was looking at meditation as a way to help me relax and also just deal with a lot of the stuff that was going on at the time. And then over time with practice, meditation sort of became easier for me.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that you had a lot of, you know, other dramas as well in your life with your business and so forth. And how did you find that, or were you attracted to meditation because you could see how that there might be a different way of dealing with it, or was there other elements involved in getting to a meditation practice?
I'd like to say that I was that smart and I had such a plan, but I actually didn't. Uh-huh. You know, there was really zero. What I noticed was that I wasn't coping as well as I would like to cope. And I noticed that I was staying up, waking up at 3 a.m, having panic attacks. Sleep was really difficult for me. I was, my self-worth was very, very low. I had lost a job, which was difficult. But at the same time that I had lost my job, my marriage also started to, you know, fall apart. And I didn't feel very good about myself. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that really made a difference was meditation. What I really want to say is that as I started meditating more, those feelings of self-doubt and those inner voices that we tend to hear all the time started to diminish somewhat. So it really helped.
Yeah, definitely. So it sounds like that Thich Nhat Hanh, one of my teachers, talks about the radio station in our minds that, and a lot of meditators talk about that and how with time and more meditation, you're able to turn the channels to maybe a less anxious type of inner. Yeah, right. Right.
Yeah. That's interesting. I call it my automatic thought machine, my ATM.
Ah.
And unfortunately, it doesn't dispense a lot of cash.
Right. Yeah.
It dispenses a lot of self-criticism. So, you know, over time, exactly, the self-talk can become a bit more valuable and a bit more realistic and a little less self-critical, which I found to be really helpful.
Yeah, so the story about yourself begins to be a little less one way or, you know, rigid or negative, and it begins to open up, it sounds like.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
And did you find that as you started meditating, maybe you can describe a little bit about what kind of meditation you started with and then how that evolved as well?
So my first sort of experience with meditation was really, if you can imagine, in a doctor's office. I was going through infertility treatments and I would have earphones. And at the time it was like a tape cassette recording. And that was more, you know, a body scan or that type of a meditation. It was really an old-fashioned version. And I was you know, I was not really meditating. When I had to sit in silence for any length of time, like, I actually couldn't. My brain was so busy that I wasn't physically capable of having something that wasn't guided and having something that was not making me focus on the individual parts of my body. So that was my first experience. And then over time, I'd like to say that it changed, but it really didn't. You know, I had moments of peace and tranquility for, let's say, that lasted for, let's say, 5 seconds. But it wasn't an immediate reaction. And then when I started to really develop that attention muscle further down the road, I could sort of get a little bit more silence into those gaps. And so I was able to sort of develop that practice a little bit more. But I have to say, my mantra for the first however long, was, when will this be over? When will this be over? It wasn't easy for me.
Yeah, so even in your meditations, it was still future-oriented, like, in order to get to another place, or...
Absolutely. Absolutely. And A, there was an emphasis on the future. B, there was also a sense that somehow I wasn't doing it right.
Mm-hmm.
There was a very strong feeling that other people probably had more silence and more space in their thoughts than I did, or other people probably had a bit more tranquility. And there was definitely a lot of comparison, a lot of feeling that I somehow wasn't good enough, again, in the meditation, and a sense that this was something that only I was failing at.
Right.
Which was really important to us when we developed our app. We really tried to address those concerns that most people have when they begin to meditate and then give up because they feel that they're just not doing it properly. We really wanted to reassure people, this is it, you know?
Right.
It's like thought. And then you go back to the object of your attention, and then you have some more thoughts. And, you know, as you continually do that, eventually it becomes a little bit more accessible, a little bit less thought and a little bit more space.
Yeah, and there's a definitely, it sounds like you're putting components of self-acceptance in there so that people aren't as hard on themselves as you were, you know, the former part of your former self.
Right.
Yeah. Did you join groups at any point, or did you have teachers?
I did. Well, so, you know, my first experience, I went on a meditation retreat. I think I talked about this. It was a funny situation. I got there, and it was my girlfriend and I. She dragged me kicking and screaming, and I was really reluctant to go with her. And I found out that, you know, there was no alcohol and that I was going to, you know, that it was basically a whole plant-based food, like vegan.
Vegan, yeah.
I was like, I can't stay here. You can't make me stay here. And I was literally making bargains with her. There was a hotel that was nearby, and I was like, I'll stay there and I'll sneak in the morning and they won't notice.
Yeah.
Like, you're stuck here for the next week. Make the best of it. And I was like, I can't do that. It was funny.
Yeah, so it was a whole week then.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big commitment.
It was, what's the expression? Death by fire? I don't know. I submerged myself in it. And, you know, thankfully so, because that was really the beginning of a love affair.
Yeah. And was there, towards the end of that retreat, did you see it differently than at the very beginning of that retreat?
I'd love to say that I did. when I do say that it was the beginning of a love affair, what I did notice was that I had been craving. So let's talk about, you know, hoping to achieve a certain state. I was craving peace and quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And what I noticed was that that peace that was so elusive was accessible for periods of time. And I certainly could access it more when I was allowing myself to be still and quiet than when I was not. And so counterintuitively, I always thought, you know, I had to work really, really hard to achieve a certain state. If I do this, then maybe I could get there. If I do this, then maybe I can have that. And what I recognized was that the less I did, the more peaceful I actually felt. And yeah. So that was that shift for me. I wouldn't, you know, necessarily say that, boom, it all changed. But that realization was very important, very helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, I can, and I think that's with most people, that it doesn't just go from one day to the next. And that's another one of those stories that people might read and they go, oh, well, since that hasn't happened with me, therefore, you know, something must be wrong with my practice. And pretty quick, there's something wrong with me. Right. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right. Well, that's great that you're taking all of that into account in your app. Did you go to more retreats?
Yeah. So, I'm a retreat junkie. They're fun. I like them. But I also really, it was important to me to really develop my own practice. And what I noticed for my own practice was that even though I knew it felt good and even though it was something that was helpful, it was over time that I became, that it really became a love affair that I was consistent about. That consistency was difficult for me. And so again, you know, that's another thing that we try to help people with is, even though I knew that some of my behaviors weren't self-nourishing and weren't necessarily the most beneficial to myself, I still did them. So for example, I know very clearly that if I had a drink when I came home from work, it might be better for me if I sat down and meditated for 20 minutes. But it was hard for me to sort of shift.
Mm-hmm. Sure. The old habit patterns were very ingrained.
Exactly. So those habits, changing the habits and really getting to the place where I sort of wanted to change the habits was also a process. It didn't just miraculously happen.
Right.
So I still would come home and still would reach for a drink after a particularly hard day. And, you know, didn't necessarily practice a daily habitual sort of practice. And it's hard to talk about meditation as habitual, but I find it helpful in a sense, because the same way that we can have those habit loops that are not necessarily self-nourishing, we can also create habit loops that are self-nourishing. So absolutely. It was getting myself into that regular habitual practice that really over time became something that now is something that is a habit. I can't imagine not meditating.
Right, and it's a healthy habit as opposed to a habit that might be more destructive in our personal lives.
Right.
Yeah. Did you find also that with that certain events would your attitude would change also because of meditation? You know, like if something really negative happens, that because of your meditation practice, you had a different way of dealing with it than you did before the practice.
100%. So I love that story, you know, that I tell my kids all the time about the farmer that finds all the wild horses. You know that story?
Yeah. I don't know that story, no.
Oh, you don't? This is my favorite kid story, but I tell it to myself all the time, too. So this farmer comes into his backyard, and his whole backyard has completely been destroyed. Because there's all these horses that have found their way into his backyard. And so he goes, oh my goodness, you know, look at what's happening. The villagers come and they're like, everything's been destroyed. How, you know, that's horrible. And he says, maybe good. maybe bad.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. I've had a variation of that. Yeah.
I know so many variations of that, right?
Right.
So anyway, that story is sort of how my own practice, rather than tell the whole story, that's how my whole practice has really helped me. And my dad had been diagnosed with lung cancer, with a tumor in his lung. And, you know, there was that moment of understanding, okay, that this is something that is potentially life-threatening. And then, you know, he went in for surgery and found out that, oh, actually, you know, it's actually not cancer. And then he found out after that he had internal bleeding and he nearly died and developed pneumonia. And now he's recuperating. And so it's been that sort of those waves and recognizing that that's just what it is. And rather than getting too caught up in the moment-to-moment events, just being present with whatever is happening, and just enjoying the time being able to be with him, being able to sit with my father who is 80 and have truly alone time with this man where he's lucid and able to communicate and we're able to share feelings and that are probably very, poignant and wouldn't be said under any other circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
It was a gift. It was truly a gift. So being able to see the gift in whatever is happening has really been a huge shift for me.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And I see how if you got caught up in if your mind thought it was real, then you wouldn't have as much time to be present for the person that's actually undergoing this pain. And so there's a huge advantage right there for the people around you when you're able to be more present and not caught up in or swallowed up by grief and
by the all story, kinds of,
yeah,
right?
By the stories.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And at the same time, of course, you're still able to grieve, but it doesn't have the added mental stuff to it. And as a parent also, how has it affected you as a parent? We talked about that last time where your son and your daughter and then raising them, it's affected the way you raise your children.
Yeah. So I think I said to you last time that I have an older, you know, my oldest son is 20-something and my daughter is 11. And so, you know, different parenting rules and regulations at this point. And so I'm certainly grateful to my oldest son for letting me practice on him.
Yeah.
but one of the things that's been very important to me was making sure that my kids actually had a contemplative practice of their own and the ability to sort of step back and because they weren't necessarily interested in learning from me.
As a parent, yeah.
As a parent, we really did our best to sort of get the schools to put in meditation as part of the curriculum.
Yeah, which is a very creative way as a parent to get them to do something that you want them to do. And at the same time, you were helping the school too.
Well, it was really a win-win for everybody.
Right.
And I did it in different schools because my kids were in different schools, which was lovely because it served a lot of different purposes. It really was for my oldest son who has learning disabilities and ADHD, which, you know, is really all about executive functioning and about the inability to concentrate.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, making rash decisions and not necessarily thinking things through, having meditation help not only the teachers, him as well as myself, has really been something that I've certainly relied on as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
I think I might have told you one of the stories was when my son was, I don't even know how old, I get a phone call from the school saying, you know, Mrs. Goldberg, please don't panic, but your son's on the way to emergency. And, of course, when they call you and they say that, it usually means something bad's happened.
Right.
And it ended up that he had blown up the science lab. And he had also blown up part of his arm as part of that experiment. Oof. And, you know, luckily he's fine. But that practice for me of being able to step back and breathe and not be completely caught up again in the whole drama of the situation and, you know, just be have a bit of calm and clarity with the situation as well has really helped me to get out of that habit of, you know, the shame and blame that a lot of parents, myself especially, get into of, you know,
and
why
anger.
Did you do that? Yeah. How could you have? And then, of course, it's all about me, right? Because, of course, then my ego is, how could he do that to me? I'm so worried. I'm so upset, as opposed to recognizing that this is a kid who's just, you know, experimenting.
Right. Yeah. And how is he, have you noticed changes in him as a result of this practice?
That's a work in progress.
Yeah. When did he blow up this lab? Was that pretty recent?
So he's 20, and it'll be interesting because, you know, no one wants to do necessarily what their parents want them to do.
Right.
So it'll be interesting. He has school. He has some skills that he's learned, and whether he chooses to use them, like I did when I needed them over time, they became something that was available to me. And someone telling me that I needed to do it wasn't going to.
Right. It has to come from within. Yeah.
So when he's ready, he'll know how.
Exactly.
His choice.
Yeah. It's available to him. Yeah. And so how did the, when you did the guided meditations for the schools, did you start fine tuning it at that point and learn how to then make it better so that at some point you decided to take it out into the world?
Yeah. So we had things that people would say repeatedly, you know, like the common theme a lot of people complained about was, you know, I don't have enough time to meditate. So when we were developing the app, we really wanted to do something that would give people an alarm so that they could just wake up with the app and start meditating right away. So, you know, there were certain comments that when we sort of put together our wish list, if I could have everything in the world, what would it be to help people have no more excuses?
Mm-hmm. Right?
What would make it simple and completely accessible and available? And we were lucky that we had lots of people who gave us lots of information about what it was that would really make it easy for them. So one was the alarm. One was the fact that it was daily and progressive. What we noticed was that people who were meditating, if we gave them too much information up front, there wasn't necessarily the sense of continuity. They wanted to have little bite-sized pieces that they could have on a daily basis was more important. So like we said, you know, before about the continuity and consistency was really, really important, as opposed to, you know, like how I did it, one full week on, but then
right.
back. And so, you know, it was a work in progress.
Yeah. And at that point, did you then, was it like a year later that you decided to create the app? Yeah.
Yeah. It took a full year of, you know, writing and making sure that it also on the technology side that it worked and getting the whole thing to come together.
Right. And then was it at that point like sitting at the kitchen table with your husband, who's much more technical oriented, and it was like, you know, he had already done some apps, right? Or was it mostly ringtones that he was into?
So his claim to fame was, as he said, you know, he had developed the fart ringtone. That was what he had developed. And when he said and he was, you know, looking at what he wanted to do in this chapter of his life, he said he wanted to do something that had a bit more meaning than that. But yeah, he had several technology companies, and he had developed web content and content really for mobile phones and mobile apps prior to Apple. So he's been at this for a long, long time.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so he just thought, hey, I can just take these meditations and turn them, and then add the technology with the bell and the timer.
And he knew how to make it something that was, you know, consumer friendly.
Yeah. And so now you've had that in not only in the store but also in airplanes. And how did that come about?
Well, that's him. So recognizing, you know, we would fly together, but that's what you do when you sit on a plane, right? The first 20 minutes, you can't do anything anyway. And it was just like one of those, we should be meditating right now. Wouldn't it be cool if? And then he was the one that went and figured out how to actually make that happen.
Yeah, that's amazing to me, because as I was saying earlier, that when I took a plane flight recently, I saw so many screens on all night, unlike in the past where people would actually sleep during an international flight and they would just play all these movies. And so in a way, the screens are keeping them more awake. Your app is in a way counteracting that and giving people some permission to not be constantly engaged in movies and things like that, and give themselves some time to rest, since it's harder to do in this age where there's so much distraction and so much being thrown at us.
So true.
And do you find that the apps, as you know, the apps in the store that people use in their cell phones, is that the same popularity with certain meditations as like in the plane, or was the plane attracting a different kind of particular guided meditation that people like?
Well, we also wanted to make sure that we could address, you know, the meditations on the app are really situation specific. So, you know, we have things that range anywhere from my boss is a jerk, which, you know, is about self-compassion and compassion for others, to what to do standing in line, like a 2-minute meditation. So very, very specific to whatever you need at the moment. And obviously on a plane, if you have fears or you're worried about flying, then that's one set of concerns. If you're concerned about just for rest and relaxation, that's another one. We have, different ones that are specific to what you would be going through when you're flying.
Yeah, and that's great, because that's another thing you wouldn't have in the past. I mean, you might have to read a whole book or take a whole class before you get to the point that's actually relevant to your particular situation. And everybody's got a different situation and a different thing they might need at that moment. So that's a really wonderful thing about these apps is how they just in time learning and just in time something that's needed at that moment.
Oh, I love the way you just said that. I'm going to have to borrow that. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. And any other surprises or directions that you see yourself going with this app in the future as a result of learning from people's usage of it?
It's just been the most gratifying, truly the most gratifying process I could ever imagine. We've met some wonderful people. I would include you in that, actually. It's just incredible how the community in general has met people who share our passions and our interests, so that's always fun.
Yeah.
But we've also seen the changes and differences that meditation can make in people's lives. And we've received some incredibly gratifying letters from people who have been touched and have, whose lives have been improved by their own words, you know, in their own words. And that's kind of the most special thing I can imagine.
Yeah, I would agree. That's very gratifying. That makes your life meaningful, too.
It's why I get up in the morning, really. It's very meaningful. It makes it feel like there's purpose, a sense of purpose, and it's truly been very special.
Wonderful. And do you have, in terms of the future, do you have any other plans, or just keep building on what you have and getting
right
to-
now the intention is to really just develop this further. We're constantly releasing new content as we've been working with people who have given us insight into what issues they have that's really and specifically helped us develop things that are important for them. That's really helped us develop our content further. We're very interested in continuing to grow that. We're very interested in developing our distribution network so that it's accessible to as many people as possible. And that's really the goal right now, is to make it useful.
Yeah, great. Well, I think you're definitely succeeding at that. So, yeah, I think that's all I've got. Is there any other tips you would have for someone beginning to practice and struggling with practice, and you know, maybe some tips based on what you've learned from the people that are using your app?
The most important thing that I would say is consistency. So committing to, even if it's 10 minutes a day, as opposed to, you know, setting this lofty goal of, okay, I'm gonna, you know, sit down for an hour. Better off biting off 10 minutes and committing to that and doing it consistently over time. Mm-hmm. That's what the research is actually showing helps develop that attention muscle. So you get your practice underway and, you know, baby steps, be gentle with yourself. Just, this is a practice. It takes time. Not having expectations that might be unrealistic.
Mm-hmm.
Just committing to it. Also recognizing what your intention is for starting the practice in the first place. So
yeah, that's a good one, definitely.
Yeah. So recognizing, oh, this is why I'm doing it, and then keeping honoring that, coming back to that whenever there's a moment of, ugh, do I really feel like doing this today?
Right, yeah, rain or shine.
Right.
Yeah. And do you see any community component at some point?
Yes. So that's our ultimate goal, actually, and but I'd rather not say too much of it.
Okay, yeah, trade secrets, right.
But yeah, that's a definite exciting possibility.
Well, great. It's been so great to talk to you, and thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this interview with Lynn Goldberg. You can find the show notes for this episode by going to meditationfreedom.com/43. And there'll be links to not only their website and their apps, but also a couple of their YouTube videos. What follows here is their very popular Blanket of Love meditation, guided meditation. I hope you enjoy this, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week. Take care.
Please sit comfortably and close your eyes. Your feet resting flat on the floor, hands folded in your lap. Let's begin with some nice clearing breaths, breathing in through your nose and out through your mouth. Breathing in crystal clear oxygen on your in-breath. Breathing out tension like a gray mist on your out-breath. Let's do that a couple more times. A long, slow, deep breath in. Long, slow, deep breath out. now breathing through your nostrils. Bring your attention to your feet. Noticing your feet as they touch the floor. Begin to relax your big toes. Relax your next toes, middle toes, next toes, baby toes, allowing your feet to sink into the floor, completely relaxed. Now your ankles, relaxed. Your calves, relaxed. Your thighs, feel them melt into the chair like a snowball in the hot sun. Now feel your seat as it makes contact with the chair. Allow your entire lower half of your body to completely relax. Bring your attention to your belly, noticing the rise and fall of your belly. See if you can bring your attention inwards. Your digestive tract, allowing it to relax. Feel your belly. Allow it to soften. Bringing your attention to your fingers, they melt into your lap. Feel the palms of your hands releasing, relaxing. Your forearms, upper arms, shoulders. Feeling for any tension that you might have stored, just letting it go. Notice if your shoulders are near your ears, and consciously lower them. Feel your jaw. Allow your teeth to separate slightly. Allow your tongue to rest gently on your palate. Notice your forehead, the crown of your head, and allow your entire body, from the soles of your feet to the crown of your head, to completely relax. Now bring your attention to your chest. Feel your breath as your chest rises and falls, and allow your chest to relax. Bringing attention to your heart center. Visualize the color green. And as you breathe in and out of this space, imagine a beautiful green, the color of a grassy meadow. See the soft green grass, almost like a carpet. Imagine yourself as a beautiful baby. Feel yourself in soft, warm pajamas, bundled up safe and warm. Feel the cozy blanket wrapped around you, and imagine the soft green grass supporting you. Now imagine tucking yourself in, sending yourself love and kisses, feeling completely surrounded by love. You're safe and warm. Now imagine yourself as a 10-year-old child. Visualize yourself in your cozy pajamas. Feel the softness of your blanket surrounding you. Kiss yourself goodnight. Feel the love you have for this beautiful, innocent child. Feeling safe, protected, and loved. Now imagine yourself as a teenager. See yourself getting ready for bed. Feel the soft pajamas on your skin, sending yourself love, warmth. Tuck yourself into your cozy bed. Feel that warmth and safety. Send yourself love. Now imagine yourself as you are today. Feel yourself resting on this beautiful green carpet. Imagine yourself getting ready for bed. Feel yourself wrapped in a beautiful, soft cashmere blanket. Feel the softness on your skin. Feel the warmth as it envelops you. And now send yourself love. Feel the love at your heart center. Notice it feels warm or tingly. Feel it expanding from your heart center. Breathe it into your chest. Feel it spreading into your shoulders, your arms. Now see it surrounding you, wrapping you in this white, loving energy. Feel it moving down your torso, wrapping you in this beautiful white blanket of love. Feel it reaching around your legs, your calves, your feet. Now move up to the crown of your head. Imagine your head resting gently on this white pillow of loving energy, surrounding your entire body. You're completely safe, completely protected, completely loved. Now from your heart center, imagine sending this loving energy to someone that you love. can be a child, a spouse, or anyone or thing that you love, even a pet. Feel the love you have for them and send your love as it overflows from your heart. Send them your wishes for them. Let them be safe. Let them be happy. Let them be loved. And feel them wrapped in your blanket of light and love. And now, if you'd like, imagine someone you don't know very well. Maybe a neighbor or a shopkeeper. Send them your light and love. Feel this infinite love as it expands from your heart center and wraps them in safety and warmth, in love and light. Feel your endless supply of this love and extend it to them. And now, if you can, imagine someone you're having a difficult time with. Imagine that they want what you want. They wish to be happy. They wish to feel love. See if you can extend your love to them. Know that if they're happy and loved, maybe they'll be easier to get along with. Feel them wrapped in your endless supply of love and light. And now, feeling back to your heart center, notice how you feel. Notice how this light and love feels in your body. Gently bringing awareness back to your body. Begin to deepen your breath, bringing small movements to your fingers and your toes. And when you're ready, you can slowly open your eyes. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Meditation Freedom Podcast, where meditation meets daily life.